Well, good evening, everybody, wherever you may be. Welcome along to another edition of the Orient Hour. In the studio tonight, we've got Darren Burrows, Barry Galvin, and Trevor Singfield, and hopefully live on the line from España, I believe, we should have Christian Wheeler. Hi, Chris.
How's it going, Andy? You all right?
Yes, not too bad. I suspect you've got better weather than we've got here, because it's been absolutely the proverbial this afternoon.
It's been a little warm.
Is it a little warm? Do you want to make us all jealous? Yeah. How hot is it?
I think it was 37 yesterday and 36 today. I think it's going to be 37 tomorrow. So it's a tad too warm for my bald head, unfortunately.
Hands up, everyone in the studio who hates Christian at the moment. Anyway, let's some serious stuff, mate. You've managed to watch the two friendlies, haven't you? The one on the weekend against Maidenhead, and then last night Dulwich.
Yeah, I watched the games. I think Saturday there was some positive signs to come out of a few performances. There's probably some negatives on my part as well, but yeah, there's some positives. I think obviously Rural scored again. You know, Hector's getting some minutes in, Ogie's getting some minutes in, so there's definitely some positives to come out of it. I think that the negatives, I think last time I spoke about the front three or the front four with the players that we signed are still worrying me that we're not going to score anywhere near enough goals to challenge for promotion.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, a bit of a lapse going on as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think you've got two young left-sided centre-halves. One of them obviously has to play the other side, and you know they're a National League team with trialists that are trying to earn contracts as well. So, yeah, I think they all benefit from Beckles and obviously Thompson coming back in as well. So we shall see what happens.
Yeah, because just before I bring the lads in here, I mean, you've been saying all along that you weren't overcomfortable or overconfident about the strikers the club's got in at the moment. And Kenny Jackett's pretty much backed that up by saying they probably need to sign a striker or two. And so it seems like your train of thought is the same as the manager's.
I just think Saturday kind of epitomised what we're about at the minute. I think we had good passages of play where we played some nice football, and at times we looked, for me, very non-ruthless, should we say. I think Drinnen really summed it up. I think there was a spell in the first half or the second half that he won the ball down, he harassed, he won the ball back, he put the defender under pressure, cut inside on his left foot, and tamely shanked it wide. And I just think he does most of his best work, you know, too far away from the goal, and that's going to leave a large responsibility on two diminutive wire players like Smith and Satoru to score the goals. And, you know, as I say, if you've got a lot of the ball, you're doing really well. 4-3-3 is a great formation when you're on top of people, but if you're a bit under pressure and you're not doing so well, that can quickly become 4-5-1. And as we saw from Danny Johnson last year, that one up top gets isolated. So that is a little bit of a worry for me that we haven't signed a 20th season man.
Well, what Christian was saying, Darren, I've got to say that we were, last week we were saying, well, hold on, everybody, wait until they've played Maidenhead, wait until they've played Dulwich before we start saying whether or not we've got a won't say a problem yet, but a question mark over the front line. But they didn't really do the business, did they?
No, I can understand Christian's concern, to be honest with you, Andy. I will say this, against Maidenhead, I think Kemp and Smythe, as I've called him, not Smith, I think they were a big miss, and I think that showed. So they're going to be starting, aren't they? Let's face it. But I also felt that what really we want to see this other Smith, don't we, before we can make too many conclusions up. And as you've both said, Kenny said that he still needs strengthening. I think the interesting thing is what's happening with Ucisse, frankly, because he's not had a look, has he?
No.
And it looks like to me the club want to move him on.
Barry?
Yeah, I agree with most of what's been said. I mean, we haven't seen Harry Smith yet, and he's a big guy, I think, isn't he? 6'5", so I think they'd be ideal trying to get the ball in the box for him. I think Drinnen's more of a target man, more of a hold-up player, but I haven't seen anything from him as in a predator. He's worked hard, and he's done well in that respect, and Siri, you playing wide? I'm not sure. I mean, maybe you could be the guy who they burn off, you know, if they're, but mind you, it won't work in a 4-3-3, will it? But I saw him, I mean, initially he was playing as a striker, wasn't he? As a number nine, so to speak. So maybe that's a role that he could fulfil. He's definitely got it in him.
Sam Dalby, Christian, back to, gone to Southend this afternoon.
Yeah, I think I said it on a WhatsApp group. I think it's a big season for him. I didn't make any secret of I know his agent. Obviously, he's a Harlow boy like myself. Did try and get him to Iceland. I don't think he was too keen. He thought he'd get a deal in the lower leagues of English football, which he has done. It's a big season for him. I'm not so sure that the conference will suit his style of play, but you know, it's a big season for him. Good luck to him. I always want to see Orient boys, especially Harlow boys, kicking on. I think someone compared him to Macaulay Bond today. I'd say Macaulay Bond's all-action style probably suited the conference, and obviously he's giving the confidence and the goals to kick on again in his career. I'm not sure Sam Dalby will relish that, you know, dog-eat-dog environment. But to be fair, I don't want him to do well. I only live down the road from the ground, but they've made some astute, sensible signings for me, Southend. They've made some very good, what I call, players at that level, and we'll see whether they get back up. I think going back to the weekend, the striking thing for me, the thing that shone through the most for me was Prattley can't get injured, because for me he's a class above everything else on the pitch. He talks, he's a leader. He gets around the pitch so well. He's class with the ball. He knows when to play, when to turn it around the corner. I think I think he's going to be a really, really big signing for us. And I just hope that he stays fit. The other interesting thing for the weekend as well is, I think that, you know, some people might want to listen to a commentator. You being an ex-commentator yourself, I don't want to do you out of any work, but I actually found it very interesting to listen to the manager at the weekend, and I was very impressed with the way that Kenny Jackett spoke to the players, the way that he got on to people, the way that he encouraged the kids, the way he wanted people to be dominant, to speak, the way that he picked up on the flaws in Ogie's game straight away. You know, they were very on him straight away to quicken up his play, to shorten his touches down to two touch. For me, I actually really enjoyed Saturday's game because I got to listen to our bench and listen to how they talked, especially the kids for a game of football. So
I have to say, Christian, that I was pitch side at the JE3 trophy because obviously the presentation was to be made. So I got to spend the last sort of 10 minutes pitch side, and I was really impressed with Kenny Jackett, and he's obviously still got the drive for football because he's constantly talking to everybody on the pitch, telling them where they should be, what they should be doing, and encouraging them as well. You know, he was he's certainly not here to end his day, his managerial career, because he was really driven, and I was really impressed with him pitch side, definitely.
Yeah, I was as well, and as I said on our WhatsApp chat on Saturday, you could tell that for a little while, Maidenhead were dropping off Ogie, and more or less, you know, he's a young defender playing on the wrong side. He got caught in possession a few times, and, you know, Jackett and our bench were onto him straight away to, you know, quicken up, to get it out of his feet, play two touch, you know, be dominant, get on the front foot. So I was impressed, as I say, and there's definitely something about the young lad, Matt Young, as well. I really like him. He's got something in the locker. I'm hoping that he's either in and around the squad this year and he gets minutes, or he goes out to a National League team and churns out 20 games and then come back, because I think that kid's got something.
Yeah, so did we miss out on Dalby, in your opinion? Just coming back to Sam again, was that the sort of player we should have been looking at adding to the, or at least bringing in to have a trial?
I don't know. Are we wanting to sign someone that's going to go and get us the goals to get us realistic? Or to me, you know, and reading Brown's sort of write-up on him, that to me is, you know, they see it as a project, you know, scoring goals in the under-23s. You know, he went on loan to Woking last year, didn't really set the world alight. I don't think he scored in 16 games. So for me, yeah, I'd like to have had him in the building, but maybe at the expense of one of the other guys that we're signing. If we if we're then going out to get someone that's going to fire us to promotion, at the moment, I don't think Sam Dolby's the man, though. I'd put him in the case that I put the others in, that he might get you five or six, but five or six, even three or four getting five or six is not going to win you the league or get you in the playoffs.
No, I'll bring Darren in a second. Have you got a name in mind, in your mind, that the sort of player or the player that you'd like to see signed?
No, because there's some weird moves coming. I think we said about that, you know, I still can't get my head around Mullin dropping two leagues to go and play for Wrexham. You know, it's bad enough dropping two leagues, but without being horrible, going to play in Wales for 3 years in the conference is not wouldn't be my top of priorities. But I do think that, you know, we need someone that's going to lead the line and get us those goals, that's going to give us a chance, because at the minute I just think we're always going to be in games and we'll draw too many games to get us in the mix. A bit like last year, and you know, a 1-0 or a 0-0 can also turn to 0 points as well, and that, as I say, that's my fear. We've played some good football, we don't look bad at the back, we look combative at times, young boys are getting minutes, you know, we've got three or four experienced players to come back in. But I just feel like you've got Ruel and Smith very quick, but are going to be playing wide, and the two boys down the middle. You know, we haven't seen Smith yet, but Drinnen for me does. You know, Tommy Cunningham's an ex-famous Orient player, and then with my manager and chairman for a long time, and you know, he always used to fret when centre forward to get the ball in the 18-yard box and play it back out the box to set someone or play it wide. He's one of them players. He does a lot of his work too far away from the goal for me to score them goals. He works hard, works tirelessly. Can't knock some of his hold-up play, but you know, I just think that the better teams, we might not be with the ball so much, and he'll be isolated, and against the worst teams, he's not going to score the one or twos to kill him off.
Yeah, I think one of my concerns, Chris, was Drinnen going off injured against Maidenhead. We've heard nothing from the club this week, whether he's picked up a serious knock or not. And I always feel that the longer that goes on, that you don't hear anything, is not good news.
No.
I agree with you on the front line. Again, you know, I didn't a couple of weeks ago, but now I've seen us three or four times. I'm not running away with hope that we're going to score a hatful either. I just think that it's the clubs have said, haven't they, how hard it is to fetch a forward in. The fact that we've paid undisclosed fees for one, and other clubs in our position are as well. We're not the only club paying a fee at the moment. But I do think that that's where the scouting network or the threats of football and Kenny's probably little black book will come into it. I do think that there's the likes of the lad that we played against Spurs. They had two young centre forwards on, didn't they? So I think they'll come. I think there'll be more. Clearly there needs to be. So I would a bit of patience on our part.
I was going to say, I'm hoping that the lad Smith comes in and we play a little bit more direct into him, and he's more a knock it down man, and we play Ruel and Smith a little closer to him, and you've got like third man runners off him. So that would be my hope, or even changing the system and dropping another one in midfield and then playing Ruel off, you know, maybe playing Smith wide right and playing Ruel off Smith. Because I do think one of the positives is Ruel's fit. He's getting minutes, he's scored a couple of goals, and I do think that him staying fit will always score goals, because you know, he's a little rat of a centre forward that he's got, you know, he gets stuck into people, he plays on the edge, he knows where the goal is, so there's positives there. I just think at the minute, I'm just worried that we will draw more games than we win, and it'll be a case of, you know, if only again.
Right, well, Christian, what we're going to do is we'll let you get on with your holiday and in the heat over there. We'll speak soon, because we got Trevor warming up ready on the vocals for our first phone call shortly on the Orient quiz. And who knows how many they're not going to get this week. It's been pretty low scoring. But enjoy the weather over there, Christian, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Cheers, chaps.
Ta-da now.
Enjoy your evening. Bye. Take care.
Well, that was Christian Wheeler, who's, as we said, having a break in Spain at the moment. And 30, what did he say it was? 30?
Oh, I zoned out when he said that, Andy, to be fair.
Look at what we've got.
No, I didn't
here.
Want to hear it.
Never mind. So shortly we'll be getting our first contestant through on the blower to take part in the Orient quiz. They can ring through as soon as they want to. And Trevor, as I say, warming up ready with the question sheets. And so you agree with Christian there with the state of the forward line is the worry, isn't it? I think
I think so, Eddie. I think midfield keepers wise. I had the pleasure of going to watch us the youngsters at Wadham Lodge last night, Walthamstow, and I have to say Reece Byrne in goal was pretty good. You know, pretty good. He had a good game, and he looks like one that I'm not saying he's going to be head of sergeant, but yeah. So there were some positives there.
Good, good, good. And I think we've got our first contestant on the line. Who's calling?
Hi, it's Martin here.
Martin who?
Martin White.
Martin White, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very good, Martin. And we're going to pass you straight over to Trevor Singfield, our question master supreme. And he's got 10 questions lined up for you, Martin, but I'm sure he'll warm you up first of all. So just over to Trevor Singfield.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to round 4 of the Orient Quiz, and a warm welcome to Martin, who's going to play along tonight. So, Martin, we'd like to know a little bit about our contestants, and tell us how long you've followed the O's and where you actually watch them for.
Well, I've been watching them, well, my dad brought me along as a child. He's 83 now, so he still comes along. And I come along with my son now. I'm in my 40s. We all sit in the West Stand. I sit in front of Darren Burrows, so I think he knows me a little bit.
So, good stuff. So, what we've got to do now is you've got to choose a list between numbers 13, 14, 15 and 16. So, there's a bit of a random choice of what questions you get. So, if you've been going that long, you should like the old history questions.
Well, we'll see. 15. Number 15, okay.
So, let's have what we got here. Okay, are you ready to go?
I am ready.
Okay, which player scored his only goal for us last season in the EFL Trophy game against Brighton's under-21s? Not a popular competition, but...
No.
No idea at
Miles
all.
Judd.
Miles Judd. Well, he was a fullback. It was Sam Ling.
Oh.
There you go. Okay. Who scored Orient's goal in the 1-1 draw with Newcastle United in the second leg of the second round League Cup tie, Brisbane Road in 2000?
Steve Watts.
Well done. That's one of my favourite League Cup competition games, that is. Bobby Robson, manager at Newcastle, put a full team out, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I went to both games.
Yeah. Number 3 then. Tommy Johnson holds the record for the most league goals in a season. How many did he get in the 1957-58 season for that record?
35.
Correct. Okay, number 4. Who was the referee in our infamous 4-2 match against Brentford on the 28th of December 1991 when Kenny Agyipong was famously sent off?
David Ellery.
Yes, well done.
Okay. I was at that one as well.
Yeah, that was a good. That was a great game. That one, wasn't it? Okay. Against number 5. Against which team did we do the double against in the near miss season of 2013-14 with an aggregate score of 9-1 over the two games?
It was 13-14.
Yeah, no, near miss season. I mean, that's a healthy score, isn't it? I'll give you a little clue. The away game was more goals in it than the home game.
Was it Carlisle United?
Excellent. 5-1 at Carlisle and 4-0 at home.
Yeah.
Number 6. At which other club did John Jackson make 200 consecutive appearances as he did likewise for the O's?
QPR?
No, he played for Crystal Palace.
I know it was a London thing.
Yeah, it's a good effort making because he's done that twice. Okay, number 7. John Cornwall was transferred to which club for £50,000 in 1987?
Newcastle United.
That's correct again. Okay, number eight. Who scored a hat-trick for the O's in an FA Cup game against Brighton in 1998?
Tony Richards.
That's correct again. They're doing well in the studio here as well. Okay, number nine. Who was our top scorer in the league in the 2015-16 season?
Jay Simpson.
Is correct again. Okay. In the infamous game against Aston Villa at the end of the 73-74 season, who scored the O's goal in the 1-1 draw which denied Orient promotion to the First Division?
No idea. Pass.
It was Mickey Bullock. So let's have a count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 10, mine. That is excellent score.
Wow. Well done, mate. Well done.
You've gone to the top of the leaderboard with Jamie Stripe. So, well done. So we'll probably be seeing you next week in the final with that score. So enjoy your evening and very well done.
Well done, Martin. That's brilliant, mate. You did really well there because they weren't that easy. I mean, we might have done well between the three of us, but, I mean, we each answered wrongly, but I think you did well there. You sounded so nervous when you came on, and yet you're better than some of the feeble efforts we've had, Darren.
Martin, well done, mate. I look forward to seeing you in front of me in a West End. You can buy me a pint.
That sounds like a plan.
Take care. Well done.
Take care, guys.
Right, yeah, and Trev will be speaking to you. We'll be in touch regarding next week. All right, Martin? Thanks a lot. Right, I think he put the phone down on before I finished. That sounds like most of my ex-girlfriends.
He's not alone, is he?
There you go.
The sex officer don't, you know?
Yeah. I've had so many people put the phone down on me, I've lost count, but there you go. As I say, I mean, that was one of the better rounds we've had. I mean, only Jamie, got seven as well, didn't he? But as we got a lapse here between phone calls, we did have a request from the Supporters Club to say that they've got an away travel update in the hope that restrictions are lifted and they're able to travel to away games. We are currently taking provisional bookings for Salford, Carlisle, Newport and Bristol Rovers. Now, if you're interested, contact the new travel line number. They got a flat fare to Salford of £25, departing from the club at 8:30 in the morning. £40 to Carlisle, departing at 7:30 in the morning. Newport County is £30, departing at 8:30 a.m. And Bristol is £28, also departing at 8:30 a.m. Now, non-members surcharge is £3. That applies to the adult category. Now then, what we've got here, departures, the buses depart promptly from outside the Supporters Club. As you may know how to book, you need to get in touch with the travel desk at the Supporters Club or the LOSC travel line 07507 539 579. That's 07507 539 579. Their website, www.orientsupporters.org, or Twitter at LOFC supporters. There you go. It's us. We've done their little message for them regarding the away travel, and hopefully everything's going to be okay. Now, I caught a thing on the news just as I was getting out the car, actually. I had to get in here because there was a very serious accident just down the road, and it held me up for nearly an hour here. And unfortunately, it was a very, very nasty accident indeed. And they're just saying something, and you might have heard it, I don't know, about the players only being allowed to head the ball 10 times during the week during practice, during training. This is coming to force from the start of this season.
Is that all professional leagues?
Well, this is what I was going to ask. I'm going to look it up on one of our phones in a minute.
I know they was obviously doing it with kids, which I think everyone agrees is probably a good idea.
Well, that's I didn't know which it was. That's what I was asking. If anybody
think I've headed the ball 10 times in my career, so it wouldn't have affected me.
No, someone else has headed before it reached your level.
I used to let
you're only about 5 foot,
ball,
aren't you?
About a second
ball. But I think it'd actually be a shame if heading is sort of phased out of the game. There's nothing better than a great move finished off with a towering header at the far post or a diving header like Andy Gray style back in the day. I mean, I know safety comes into lots of sports now, but heading is a skill as well.
Do you think that's where it's going? I mean, obviously they're trying to minimise it in training. for the amount of, because it's the amount of repetition, isn't it? Of impact repetition. But do you think, do we all think that that's where it's going? It's not, cause, I mean, boxing, that's what you do, you know? That's one of the part of the sport head impact, isn't it?
I'm in two camps here because I actually agree with Trevor. It'd be such a shame to lose it. I really agree with Trevor on that one. But also, we've had people like Steve Castle on the show and other players like Terry Howard, whose father's played pretty good amateur careers and have had serious... There's been serious illnesses with players, hasn't there? There's a famous Jeff Astle at West Brom being another one that springs to mind. So I think it's a real difficult one, Trev, because like you, I want to see it. I want to see headers. I think perhaps limiting the amount of headers they do in training is a bit of a compromise. Will that affect the Andy Gray diving headers that we enjoyed growing up as kids? Possibly, yeah. So it's a real, real difficult one, isn't it?
Well, I'm guessing it's just an extension of this one on children because I've not seen anything else. As I say, it wasn't the actual news as I got out of the car, but you know when you catch something and you think...
Well, you just put the cat amongst the pigeons.
Yeah, I might have done.
Well, that might be the discussion.
I mean, it would be logical for children because obviously the bone density isn't there yet on the head and that's where it could cause a problem or two. And interestingly enough, we will... Danny Carter's doing a lot of work to do with this, a hell of a lot of work to do with dementia and head in footballs and working alongside or working with people from the FA to try and get a rehabilitation centre for people, ex-players that are adversely affected by this. And of course, the list is getting longer and longer every week, isn't it?
It is, and we're talking historically because obviously these things take years to manifest themselves, don't they? But as I said, I don't think there's ever going to be. I don't think there'll ever be a time where there's no head in football because that will point to other sports where it's far more prevalent that you have an impact to the head. Rugby, boxing, you know, there's quite a few. But I do agree that taking it out as much as you can, particularly in training, is probably the right way to go.
Right. Well, also good news this week is that Dulcet Dave Victor had a word with Dave, and Dave managed to catch up with Ricky Heppelet yesterday, and he's managed to record the best part of a half an hour with Ricky, which was scheduled to play out next week. And he was a bit of a chaperone apparently for Laurie Cunningham to keep him out of trouble, and a very, very good player. Had a great time at both Preston and with Orient, and of course he played with some of the great names of football when he left, and you know, he played with people like Bobby Moore as well, and etc. So, and he's got a massive collection of memorabilia that he's busy selling off. So, I don't know if you've seen that, lads, on the Twitter there, that Ricky's selling all his stuff, Trev.
Yeah, I was given a heads up that he was selling some of his stuff because I'm partial to football memorabilia myself. So, I've started following him on his Twitter feed, and he seems to reply to people quite promptly when they're asking, have you got some Ipswich, you got some, say, QPR or something? Yeah. And I often wonder why footballers make a decision all of a sudden to sell it, don't they? You know, it's, you know, you keep things for years. I mean, I don't think I sell any of my Clapton Orient postcards and they'll just be passed on when I die or somebody will make a few quid then, I suppose.
Yeah, you know? It could be a lot of factors. I mean, he's 72 now. If his kids aren't interested at all, then, you know, you think, well, the missus probably isn't. And if the kids aren't, then it's not a lot of point. He might say, well, I might as well cash in my chips and use the money for something else. I mean, everyone's got their own reasons. And talking of reasons, how about another phone call? And I think, if I remember rightly, and the memory's playing me tricks, we've got Les on the phone, I think.
Yeah, I'm here. Is that Andy?
Hello, Les. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Yourself, mate?
Yes, very good. You're live on air, and I'm going to pass you straight over to our quizmaster, our version of Nicholas Parsons. A pretty reasonable effort, really, from Trevor. He looks at nothing like him at all. Barry forgot to bring the organ tonight to play the music before we ask you the questions. But anyway, over to Trevor.
Hello, good evening, Les. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you, Trevor?
Yeah, very well. I'm enjoying doing this quiz, and it's a pleasure to have you on the quiz. So,
well, I've heard the last few weeks, and I thought I've done reasonably well, so I thought I'd give it a go, but I'm starting to regret it now.
Okay, well, we will see. But before we get started, can you let us know a bit about yourself, how long you've followed the O's, and where you view the mighty Reds from?
My first game, I was thinking back, was Boxing Day 1966, and my late brother-in-law took me to see us play Bristol Rovers. And all I can remember from that day was it was bitterly cold, we lost, And we had a guy in goal by the name of Ron Willis, which some of our older fans may remember. And although the experience wasn't great that day, ever since that day, I've been hooked. So after that, I used to go on my own. My dad used to give me 10 shillings to go to the games, which is like 50p in today's money. And for that 10 shillings, you could buy match ticket, programme, bar of chocolate, a drink, and you'd still have change. So really, that's how I started to come about following the O's. Yeah. And I now view the games from the west side, roughly towards the north terrace, level with the penalty area.
Yeah, it's a nice place to watch the football, the West Stand, because you can see the whole game unfold in front of you. I mean, I'm a West Stand person myself. I mean, the atmosphere sort of is not like the old West Side, but, you know.
No, it's not.
It's not at all, but, yeah. Well, that's a great history to remember in the goalkeeper from the 60s. So I think you could be doing well. Well, we had a contestant just now.
I don't know about that, but we'll see.
Well, Martin, just who was on previously, he got 7 out of 10. So
I'm not going to get anywhere near. I'll be glad to get one.
He set the bar high for this evening. Yeah. So could you just choose a list, either 13, 14 or 16, please, Les?
Oh, they say I'm lucky for some. I'll go 13.
Okay, 13 it is for you. So are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. Just remember, Dulcet Dave got one. So
if I could match that, I'd genuinely be happy, I'm telling you.
Don't rub it in. Dave listens to this.
That's what he said. Okay. Number one for you then, Les. What was the O's final league position in the league last season? That's 2021.
Right, I would say, I think we finished just below midway. Yeah, I'm going to say 13th.
No, it was 11th, just one above midway.
God.
Okay. Who scored Orient's 88th-minute winner in the 1-0 Capital One Cup, that's the League Cup, victory at Aston Villa?
Oh, I was there, Roman Vincelot.
Yeah, it was a nice header, I believe. And we were just
headies, hung up in the air, not a great header yet.
And we've just been discussing headers, how topical. Okay, number three. When we were promoted along with Liverpool to the First Division at the end of the 61-62 season, which club finished third?
Well, that's before my time, so it's going to have to be a guess. I know we played Bury in that season, so I'm going to say Bury.
No, it was Sunderland.
No, I wouldn't have got that.
No, it's a tough one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Orient are the second oldest league club in London. Who are the oldest?
I think that is Fulham.
It's correct. You thought well. Okay, number five. Our first defeat of the 2013-14 season was against Coventry City. At whose ground was the game played?
That would have been either Northampton or Birmingham, I'd say. They were sharing.
Mm. You're close. Choose one of them.
I'm going to say Northampton.
And you're correct. Okay. So, Orion only took part in the Watney Cup once. What season was that in?
Oh, God. Well, it's in the 70s, that's for sure. I would say 74-5.
Yeah, you're correct again. Okay, number seven. Mervyn Day was transferred from the O's to which club in May 1983?
I think, I'm not 100% sure yet, I think it could have been Carlisle.
No, he went to Aston Villa, which surprised me as well.
Oh, God, okay.
Okay, number eight. In September 1991, the O's played a friendly against a team who included Carlos Valderrama in the side. Wow. Who were they?
Yeah, I was there.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to take a punt at Roma.
No, it was Real Valladolid.
Oh, God. Okay.
Andy Gilson's putting his arms in here. He's got another one right. Okay. Number nine. How many games did we win in a row at the start of the 2015-16 season before we lost our next game?
Yeah, that was Percy. I think that was when Ian Hendon was in charge, I think.
Yeah.
And I reckon that was five.
And your reckon is correct. Well done. Okay, your final question tonight. Laurie Cunningham scored his first goal for the O's on the last day of the 74-75 season in a 2-1 win versus which team?
Right, I'm going to take another, it's a guess this basically, but I've seen this replayed on the Big Match ITV and they show a Laurie Cunningham goal against Chelsea.
No, it was against Southampton.
Ah, okay.
One, two, three, four, five. So you've got 5 out of 10, oh, Les.
I'm well happy with that.
Yeah, that's,
well,
a, that's good,
a good effort, a Les. Effort.
Well done, well done.
Well done, mate. That's not a bad effort. Trev, where's that put the leaderboard? I mean, what we got while Les is on the line?
Well, we've got 2 on 7, 1 on 6, and now 2 on 5.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Dave on 1.
No, Dave on one. We know about Dave on one, yeah.
hi, Dave. Is he on Saturday?
Dulcet Dave.
Sure, for his right.
Have you got a pointed hat for Dave with a D in it or something?
And if you're
two D's, couldn't he? One on each side.
Trev, if we get any dropouts, I think we've got to make Barry do the quiz, didn't you?
Listen, I just got 5 and I'm happy with that, but don't make me do it because I won't probably get none.
Hang on, have you ever done the quiz?
What? Already, no, not this one.
I thought you had. That's why I didn't put you down for it.
It's got 5. So.
Right. Well, Les, how long you? I know you were talking to Trev there. I mean, have you got any outstanding memories that you have coming to the O's there with your favourite match? I know you've been going a long time.
Well, I mean, there's so many to be. I mean, I know it seems odd for an audience support to say that there are many memories. I mean, I'm talking good memories.
Well, memories and a lot of nightmares as well.
The unmentionable one. But the three promotions is 69-70 when Jimmy Bloomfield was in charge. And to me, that was the best Orient team that I've ever seen. It just had everything. And the other two promotions, the 2005-06 when we won at Oxford, and the promotion from the National League. But for me, the 69-70 season, Jimmy Bloomfield got that team playing some unbelievable football, and it just was amazing to watch. You know, the likes of Mark Lazarus, Peter Braybrook, Dyson, you know, some really good players there. And that was absolutely a joy to watch.
Well, lovely. I'm glad you got those memories. And you've seen more promotions than any of us sitting here. But thanks for joining us. Les, we'll be in touch because we've got to, if unless somebody comes in and supersedes 5, I think we're going to end up with possibly 5 people in the final, unless somebody comes in and scores higher, but I think we'll still be in the boat, won't we? We've got 2 on 7, did you say? Did you say 1 on 6?
Yeah, Jamie and Martin have got 7. Ian Richardson got 6.
Oh, that's all right, yeah. So I am right. If somebody gets 5 above 5, then there'll be the 4 in the final. If not, we'll be in touch and Les, and there'll be 5 in the final, I think.
All right, that's brilliant. I look forward to that, Andy. Thank you very much for having me on.
See you, Les. Bye now.
Meet you soon. Bye.
Well, he didn't do bad, did he?
Yeah, done very well indeed. He's been going from mid-60s, so it wasn't bad at all.
No, we're just waiting for our next caller to come in now, and I think we've got two more this evening. We should have, unless anyone's legged it. And if they have and they don't phone in, we've got a substitute person sitting here now, Barry.
Use the questions from the last one, because I know them.
Yeah.
And again, my memory's not that great anymore, so I might not get 10.
Do you know what? Martin Bellum, who's on this show now, and then he writes a quiz for The Guardian, and he puts it online, and I thought, well, I'll have a look. I'll have a go at the first 5, and I'll get my 3 or 4 wrong. So I go back and strap and start again. Do you know what? I still get some wrong. I've just looked at the answers, and I'm still wrong when I go and do it again.
You're paying attention.
Yeah, I know. It's
That's
hard.
A good question, Dad. Are you setting Trevor the questions? No. Setting the questions, Trevor? Sorry.
No, Martin Strong sent loads over, and then we run out, so I've made some up myself. But it's a challenge because...
You have to try and span all the eras, I imagine, to be fair to all generations, yeah?
Martin sent all the questions over, and he gives you, like, a big line of questions of, the National League, and so... I've basically just took him in groups and make sure everybody gets one of the same thing in each bit, like, you know?
I've got a question for you guys, then, while we're going in between calls. Oh,
we've got a call, so I'll put you on hold, Barry, and I'll say good evening, and who's calling the Orient out?
Good evening, fellas. It's John Williams calling from Peterborough, but originally from Leytonstone.
Hello, John. And how's things up there? I hope you haven't had the torrential downpours we've had down here.
We've had a few little bits, yes, mate. And working outside as well hasn't been great, but I survived and I'm still here to tell the tale and to have a go at this fantastic quiz that you guys are arranging.
Well, Trevor and Martin Strong between them have been penciling out these questions hurriedly. I know Martin sent through about another 30 or 40 this week, and Trevor's been busy at it as well. And he had a week off. I had dairy last week, but he did. And he's ready for next week. Cause
making up for lost time.
Well, he is. He's all tuned up, ready for the final next week. You know, he's already in a state of hyper excitement, I mean, you could tell you. And getting Singfield to smile and look excited is a rarity in itself. So, anyway, with that terrible put down for our dear beloved Trevor, I'm going to pass you over to our quiz master.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good evening, John. I think I had the pleasure of the Orient Hour walk with you, and because I live in Leytonstone myself.
Oh, really? Right. Yes.
We had an enjoyable
day. That was a really lovely day, wasn't it?
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I remember the name and that you were from Peterborough. And it's a pleasure to have you on your quiz.
Oh, so. And likewise. Thanks very much.
Sorry, I've got to be the arbiter here. No favouritism because you know each other.
I've bung him a fiver already. Don't worry.
Is that all? Is that all it takes? I'll give you £6.
Anyway, John, getting heckled by Barry there.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for.
Just let the other listeners know how long you've followed the O's, and when you do come and watch the O's, just tell us where you watch.
Yeah, sure. I mean, my late granddad, Stan, he used to watch Clapton Orient run out, and he started to take me down the Orient back in sort of October, November 1973. I think my late mum took me to an early game than that. We were playing in all red. But, 73, 74 was when I started to go religiously. And, I've been a no ever since.
Good stuff. And which stand do you watch from?
Typically the south stand. Me and my son will come down for the odd home game. Not season ticket holders, unfortunately. Not living locally anymore. But, been to all parts of the ground. But the south stand, great atmosphere there. Loads of banter. And, can't wait to get back in there.
Yeah, it's the noisiest part of the ground, isn't it? You sometimes wake the west side up, you lot. So,
that's what we're there for.
Right, you've got a choice now between list 14 or list 16. So,
decisions. Let's go for 14, please.
Okay, 14. So, if you're ready, we can get going.
Yeah, whenever.
Okay, so who knocked Orient out the EFL Trophy last season?
The EFL Trophy last season. Oh, blimey.
Well, we actually went to a knockout game.
I should know this, shouldn't I? Spurs.
No, it was Bristol Rovers.
Oh, blimey, yeah, got the wrong trophy.
Yeah, 2-1 at Brisbane Road. It was one of the few games where we were allowed to go in.
Yeah, should have got that one. Not that I was at the game, but never mind.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I was getting confused with the Carabao Cup.
Okay, number two. Which club did we play for the first time in the first round of the League Cup in 1990-91 season?
Oof. Blimey.
Tough one, this.
That is tough.
We've played them since in the National League, so that gives you a little bit of a clue.
Ooh, not much of a clue, really. No, I can't even hazard a guess at that one. My mind's gone a complete blank.
It was Maidstone United.
Okay.
They were in the fourth division, I think, at the time. Okay, number three. Our last ever game to date in the first division, now Premiership, if you like to call it that, on 18th of May 1963, resulted in a 3-1 defeat to which club?
I'm going to say Everton.
It was Manchester United. Okay, in which year was the Big Red Book published, otherwise known as the Leyton Orient, the complete record?
In which year?
Yeah, did it was published.
76?
No, it was 2006. They had three books, haven't they? And that's the latest one. And Neil Kaufman's got another one coming out very soon because he was on our programme. Okay, number five, halfway through. Which player scored a hat-trick for the O's in the Johnston's Paint Trophy first-round match against Gillingham in a 3-1 win back in 2013?
2013.
Yeah, the season we nearly went up.
Just trying to think who we had. Scott McLeish?
No, it was Sean Batt.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah. Okay. Our leading goal scorer in the 1970-71 season only scored 6 goals. Who was he?
Before my time, this one. I'm going to go with Barry Dyson.
No, it wasn't a bad guess there. It was Mark Lazarus, played on the same side. That was a good effort, eh? Number 7, in the 1983-84 season, we played for the only time in which competition? Yeah.
The London Challenge Cup?
No, it was the Associate Members Cup we played in. I think Reading won it, I'm sure.
Terribly hard, these are.
Yeah, this lot have come out. They are.
Deary me.
I mean, it's the luck of the draw, Andy.
Oh, yeah, I can take it. I can take it.
I know, you're a good guy, Joe.
You haven't got a choice, mate.
True.
Okay, number 8. You don't want to be Dulcet, Dave, come on. Which player was our leading goal scorer in the league with 12 goals in the 1990-91 season?
Oh, I was abroad then. Who the hell would that have been? Colin West?
Oh, not bad effort. It was Steve Castle.
Really?
From midfield, yeah.
Must have had loads of penalties that season then.
Yeah, he was a penalty taker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, another one nearer to date. So number 9 is, name the goalkeeper who made 43 league appearances for the O's in the 2015-16 season.
I should know this because this is quite recent, isn't it?
Go on.
Was he a
scouser?
No, he wasn't a scouser. I think he may have been from down under.
Czak.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, whitewash avoided.
Yeah.
Dulcet Dave is now sulking. You gave him a clue, you know that.
I've equalised. Yeah.
But Dave will be on the phone.
We'll send you and Dave to a penalty shootout.
Oh, dear.
Okay, your final question, John. Against which team did the O's draw against in their final game of the 76-77 season, thus avoiding relegation to the third tier of English football?
Hull City.
Well done. There you go.
I was at that game.
Dave still last.
I was at that game when Jacko, he fumbled it. I was at that end. Oh, tell you what, my fingernails have never grown back.
Because I think we avoided it a few years late when Kitchen scored at Cardiff, didn't we?
So, oh, blimey, yeah. Well, John.
You didn't, you know, that's, I think two people have got two now. I think Dougie Harper got two and you've got two. So there we are. And Dulcet Dave's legging behind on one. So you didn't do too bad. No,
I'm
rotten
happy
question.
With that. Mate, I'm happy with that.
They were stinkers of questions. I think
they
most people
easy,
would have struggled there. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for entering, mate, and we'll speak soon. Take care. Brilliant.
Thanks ever so much, guys.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Ta-da now. Bye.
Right, that was John phoning in from Peterborough. Trevor, did you write those?
Like I said, I picked one of all the same things. And it
goodness
goes,
me.
If you look at all these, if every question God. Gets started off with...
It's like the Ming the Merciless of Quizmasters, isn't it? Honestly.
He didn't have to do the evil laugh when he was on the Euro, did he?
Well, I'm going to get him a white cat for next week when he sits down.
Yeah, for the final. Martin Strong, yeah. He's probably going out now thinking... 1920s onwards, I think.
that was absolutely rotten. I've got to say that, and that was terrible. So we're hoping for Mr. Steve Jenkins to be ringing in as the final competitor this evening, and so all our eyes are on the light, and hopefully Steve will. Do it? No, Steve might ring in. Yeah, Barry, trying to jump in there.
I was not volunteering to be a quiz competitor. I was going to say I was about to ask you guys a question based on my previous caller.
Okay,
saying his favourite team that he ever saw play, their favourite season. What would you guys put forward as your favourite team? Not necessarily the most successful team, but the favourite team you've ever enjoyed watching for a whole season.
Oh, go on, Darren.
Well, for me, it's got to be the team under Russell Slade in the 13-14. We got 28 points, didn't we, out of a possible 30 in the opening 14 games. And I remember Swindon away, Peterborough away, we blew them away. And yeah, that's for me. That's
right.
Good. Andy, Steve.
It's Steve. Cool. You didn't give me a chance to say hello, Steve. Hello, Steve. And God, the old pro, you. Let Mr. Jenkins near a microphone, eh? And my old commentary partner, he came up to join me in the commentary box in 1989 and he stayed for 14 years. He came up for a week, I think. Like, yeah, but
we had a good bit of rapport between us. I know that. It was
we did. We yeah. did. And he couldn't last, could it? Because the first season we did together, we got promoted. So we knew it could only go one way after that, couldn't it, really? Anyway, I'm going to pass you over to Trev, who you know well.
Thank you.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
All right, Trevor. Thanks very much. It's great to be speaking with you on the programme tonight.
Yeah, it's good that you come and joined us and testing your knowledge with the Orient Quiz. Currently,
I'm going to be useless. I don't know why I'm on here, but I love the club so much. I thought I'd get involved. Well, you'll have to excuse me because I'm in the middle of a band practice for the band that I run, the 17th Pals Battalion Band.
Well, let's hope you don't hit a bum note with the quiz. Anyway, go on. I know you're in a hurry. So
I'm inside. I'm outside on the patio at the moment trying to get a bit of a break. But anyway, away we go. Whenever you're ready, I'll give it a go.
Well, we're piling because everybody knows everything you're about anyway, don't they? So as simple as that. Okay, you've been left with list 16, so you've got to get more than one. That's the thing. Okay, so number one, Steve. Who was the only player to score a penalty for us last season?
Oh, dear. Okay.
We only scored
Danny Johnson.
One. No, it was Lee Angle in the FA Trophy, EFL okay. Trophy against Wimbledon. Okay, who did Orient play in their first ever tie in the League Cup back in 1960?
Reading?
Sorry?
Reading.
No, it was Chester. We played over two legs and we went through 3-2 on aggregate.
Fantastic. Unbelievable, some of these stats.
Okay, number three. What season were Orient crowned Division 3 South champions?
1956. 57.
56, 57, is that your answer?
Yes.
55, 56.
Oh, you rotter. He said 56. You got.
The question says season.
Oh, dear. Steve, you have my sympathy. Trevor's evil.
That's all right. I'm giving it a go here. You know, I'm doing this under a lot of pressure. Not so much for being on the show, but what I've got on at this end at the moment. Okay. But no problems.
Number four, Steve. In 1952, fans famously queued all night outside Brisbane Road to get tickets for an FA Cup tie against who?
Wow. Okay. 52. I think it's one of two. I'm going to say Port Vale or Burnley. I'm going to go for Port Vale.
It was Arsenal.
Oh.
Okay.
Close, Steve, close.
In our relegation season of 2014-15, which team defeated the O's 6-1 on April the 18th, 2015?
6-1. I think that was away, was it?
It was away, and I think we were four down within about 20 minutes.
Right, okay. 6-1. Wow. 14-15 season, you're saying, yeah? 14-15 season.
Yeah, we went down. So.
I know, yeah. Okay. Bristol Rovers.
It was MK Dons.
Oh, dear. I'm not doing too well here. I'm sorry. I hope the others have been more successful.
That's all. It's all good. On the show. Phil Hoadley signed for the O's from which club in 1971? Hey, you're off
Hooray!
The mark. Steve. Well done.
Thanks for the back, Andrew, on that one, Andy.
Yeah, right. Number seven. Name the goalkeeper who made 178 appearances for Orient between 1985 and 1989.
1985 and 1989. Okay, yes, that's the goalkeeper that played in the promotion-winning side. Oh, dear. Lived in Walthamstow, Chinkford and Himes Park. Went to MK Dons for a period. What's his name now? Oh, dear. See him, but... I know him. I just can't think of his name offhand. I could see him, but... Terry Howard's teammate. Yeah. I can't think of his name offhand. I'm sorry.
It was Peter Wells.
Okay.
You were thinking of the other fellow who's...
The one that...
Paul Hill,
that's the one, yeah.
Okay, what was the result of our match at Brighton on 8th of March 1997? Very famous game.
Yeah. 3-3.
No, it was 4-all. You must have left early, Steve. Missed the last two
goals. It's pretty hectic. I know there's a banjo involved there somewhere.
Okay. Number 9. Who started the 2015-16 season as Leighton Orient manager?
15-16 season. That would have been... former Tottenham player and Orient player.
Yeah, that's the one.
It was coach at the club, and he's now coaching, I think, was approached by Southend Fosse. What's his name now? Come on. I've got to concentrate on this.
His second name's a borough in London.
Ian Hendon.
That's it.
Oh, thank you for the half point. I'll be honest.
Okay, then, the final question, Steve.
Go on.
Name the team that knocked Orient out the FA Cup in the 1974-75 season, who then went on to be league champions that season.
74-75. Knocked us out of the FA Cup?
Yeah.
74-75. League champions that season.
They also won the European Cup, did they?
No, yeah, Nottingham Forest.
No, not sorry, I misled you there. They went on. It's the other one.
Never mind.
It was Derby County.
Derby County, yeah, I know.
How many did you get?
2-0 up at half-time, and then we drew 2-0 at home and lost the way.
Steve got 2 out of 10.
Oh, so he's in there with Dougie Harper and John.
There's no wooden spoon for Steve.
No.
So I'm not even mid-table, I take it.
I think officially Dave's finished bottom of this pile. Sorry, Dulce, but we've got to rub it in a little bit. Thanks for joining us, Steve. We'll let you go.
Pleasure as always.
King of the feedback on your phone. Yeah, I can hear your band. They need to warm up a bit better than that.
Well, we're practicing. That's what a Wednesday night's all about. But great to be on board, and thanks for your time. All right, all the best.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. Goodness me. They need to practice a bit more, I think. That sounded rough, didn't it? But good old band, and they're a good band, really, or shouldn't be horrible. And they were very good when they get going.
I've got all their records, I think.
But the neighbours love you. Anyway, that's enough. We sound like we're in a pub here. That's getting silly, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got some brass, Nick. Andy.
Hey. Oh, Steve knows I'm only joking. They're a good bunch of lads. Right, anyway, thanks for joining us. We're out of time, and here comes Steve White and the Protest family to remind me that we're out of time. Thanks, Darren. Thank you, Barry. And once again, thanks, Trev. And we'll see you next week, folks, for the final. And hopefully, Dulcet Dave with Ricky Hepburn.
It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. This is St. Arts and Park. It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.